This is the Alpaca Podcast for all things alpaca. If you're an owner, a soon-to-be owner, a want-to-be owner, or are just alpaca mad or love the fleece, welcome to the Alpaca Tribe. I'm Steve Hetherington. Hi, Steve here, and welcome to the podcast for alpaca people. Great to see you here. My alpacas have just about forgiven me. Well, most of them. A few still eye me suspiciously and give me a wide berth when I'm putting the food out. Because we finished shearing last week. The long fleece has been collected neatly in clear plastic bags of sufficient size and thickness to make managing the fleece easier and to deny the moths. We tag them all. We put labels inside the fleece. Some of them, it was just all the same, just one. In the old days, when we were having the young ones, more of the young ones that were being sheared, then we would have a first, a second, and a third, but it's more firsts and occasional firsts and seconds. They are getting older. The fleece gets shorter. It's less usable, but we do what we can. And some of the crop was light due to a waxy plaque that affects some of the alpacas. So in the fleece, comes off the skin and it kind of hangs in the middle. And it just makes it really difficult to process and to have anything usable. Generally, though, there was a good showing of the beautiful fibre our amazing herd produces. Alpacas in general. I mean, ours are good. We're good. Some are still good, but as I say, they're getting older. So it does change year by year. It depends a bit on the weather, on their health, and it also seems to depend on the feed. So this year it's been longer and seems to be in a better quality fleece than in previous years. And I think that change of the feed has helped with that. So that's good. It does just vary. We have that variability due to weather and other factors that you can't control. The animals were all in pretty good condition, which was nice. A few skinnier than I'd like, and we can work on that over the summer, get them fed up a bit. The trouble is that when they've got full fleece on, it's really difficult. Even doing the body score checking, it can be really difficult to keep a check on just what condition they're in. And it's an ideal time when we're doing the shearing to be given a good check over. So we ran through the, obviously doing toenails, checking teeth and that kind of things. And there's a few that needed a little bit of a tidying, but generally they were in good shape. We took a calm and a steady pace as the kindest way for everyone, including us, alpacas and humans alike. I always choose to forget how physical shearing is. It kind of gets dismissed until the next time. Managing the animals, holding them steady while we restrain them, and then moving them around as I expose the other side for shearing. You can got the side that's immediately available to you, but you've got to turn them over to get the other side as well. And there's just quite a lot of physical exertion required in doing all of this. So we worked within our capacities. My technique, the sequence and the way I shear has developed over 17 seasons. It's mine. It may not be the best, and I'm sure other people would do it differently. But I found a way that works for me, that is okay for the animals, and we run through that. And it's also trying to keep out of each other's way. As Sue and I are working as a team, she's collecting the fleece and doing quick sorts as we go. So some of it's being rejected and is going to waste, and others being collected in into the clay bags, as mentioned before. So those movements around having to keep the machine oiled, keeping the temperature down as much as possible as you go. When it's very dusty, when it's you get a very fine fiber and stuff that gets into the shears, then it starts to slow things down, you get more friction, you get more heat, and you just need to keep it all going. And then sometimes you go, you can hear it, it's just grinding slower and slower, and you think, oh dear. There was also quite a rattle by the end of the shearing season this year. And I'm thinking, the machine needs a service. That will help. And I think that will also help in terms of reducing the heat that was building up. So we just need to be aware of those things. We've also got, Heiniger we use as the main handset. It's plugged in, so it's on a wire and plugged into the mains. We've also got a smaller one, which I noticed that most of the vets, when they've needed to use a small shears handheld, things that they use Heiniger as well. And that's, so we had one of those, which we also invested in a few years back now. And so that's rechargeable. It is small. There's no way you can shear the animal with it, but it's very good for around heads, for tidying up bits and pieces, little straggly bits between on the far side of some of the joints that are up near the chest. You get some of them have got a lot of wrinkles, the skin and just the way they're built. They've got these wrinkles in the skin, so you need to be careful. And I've found that. The main shears, there are bits I go, I'm just not confident. I'm not confident to push that in there. So using the smaller rechargeable is really helpful for that. Finding the right tools for the job that you're doing is really good. Work out what other people are using. Find out what's best for your needs and your animal's needs. And invest in things that are going to be worthwhile for the longer term. So that's what we tend to do, is to pay a bit more, get something that's good quality that's going to last. And we've done well with the equipment we have bought with that way. So there's that, and then there's the trimming the toenails and tidying up some of the teeth where they're a little bit longer, a little bit rough. There's a few that have got some strange collections of teeth in their mouth. A while back I mentioned, but I haven't mentioned it recently. So did you know that alpacas have got deciduous teeth? Do you know what that means? But it basically means that they change. They fall out. They have first teeth and second teeth. It's not quite milk teeth that humans have, but there is about 2.5, 3-year-old animals will start to get, that's when you get the fighting teeth come through for the boys, but also it's when you start to get this change, sometimes a bit later, sort of 4 or 5, where you do seem to get this change in the teeth, where they will lose the first set and another ones will then grow through. We've got one or two that have got, they've got a few more in their mouth at the moment than there seems to be room for. They're a little bit sort of jumbled around, but they do settle and work their way through, and we end up with a normal set of teeth. Primarily concerned here to make sure that they're going to have enough freedom to eat the grass, so that the teeth are meeting the pad correctly and that there's not overshoots and undershoots, that kind of thing. You can't do much about the undershoot, but yeah. So it's interesting to see how the older ones, their teeth are now shorter and they're kind of, they grow through the life, and the older girls, their teeth are getting shorter. The kind of food that we're using alongside any hay or the grass that they've got access to, then it seems to be suiting them, which is good. We tend to soak and then they have it, but also for the dry stuff, they're able to manage all of that. So we're just keeping an eye on all that and making sure everybody's still able to eat easily and freely, and they're not limited by whatever might be going on with the teeth in their mouth. So that was part of the check that we do while we're shearing. I think overall, the shearing was slightly easier this year. It was demanding, but it wasn't quite as devastatingly tiring as it was last year or the year before. So that was good. We managed, we coped. We did well. Now, dry fleece is what you want, both for shearing, because it doesn't shear well. It chews, it catches, it just doesn't come off cleanly if the fleece is damp. And so you need to have a dry day the day before and the dry day for the day of the shearing. Occasionally some of them will paddle a bit, so try and give them water without giving them access to too much. But some of them will end up sort of damp. You've also got the first thing in the morning, you've got the dew, on any grass and things they've got access to, and occasionally some of them wandered through water and stuff. So you've got to make sure that all of that drives off. That's one of the ways we choose who we're going to shear first. It's the ones who are in most need. So the ones with the thickest fleece and the ones who are struggling with the heat, if there are any in particular. They're all going to be done in a few days. So it's relatively close together, but who do you start with? Who most needs it? We did do a lot of the darker ones first because they obviously get more heat from the sun with their dark fleece. And that seemed to be appreciated. That was nice to get that out of the way. I'm amazed how much light the dark fleece absorbs. And I think, have we turned the lights down? Why can't I see things as clearly? And it's the black mat, the rubber mat that we use, that the animals are resting on, lying on, and the dark fleece, and it just seems to swallow all the light. I always find it difficult. You have to concentrate to be able to see everything and judge distances and that kind of stuff. So we managed all of that. We did the darker ones first, and that was good. And so that's for the shearing. You also want the fleece to be dry when you're storing it. You want to be packing away damp fleece in a bag. So a few of them that were a bit sweaty and that it was just a bit of dampness felt in the fleece. Then we left the bag open and in the air, sort of stirring it around in the stable with the shutters open and things. Then it actually dried off the fleece. So by the time at the end of the day, when we finished the shearing, we're putting it away in store to be processed a bit later, then that was a good way of making sure it's as dry as possible. It's not going to cause any problems with having the wet fleece there. Anything that's soiled or anything that's going to be a problem, there's just no point in keeping it, trying to work on that. So that all goes. We're more discerning this year. Sue disposed of a lot more of that. She chose not to keep a lot of the stuff. We've been doing a lot of processing of fiber. And so she's a bit clearer what she needs for the current setup or the current things that we're using it for. So we ended up with more waste, which was a shame. But you can't, you know, for what we were trying to do, we couldn't use it. So that was a good way to go. We also had some other things to fit into the week, and we managed to work around those, and that worked out okay before the weather changed, which of course it did. And after we'd finished shearing, the day after, then we had some rain. The lake has been really, really low, and we had some rain. Well, it damped the grass. It wasn't really going to sort out the lake. We've had a bit more since then, and things have improved a bit, but it's still way down. We're still a good, I don't know, meter plus lower than the normal full lake. The birds have been busy. We've got the two families of geese, and they're coming to terms. They're quite happy to be kind of around each other a bit more. We had swans turn up again, and they've been chasing. They've been doing a lot of bossing the water, which isn't quite so good. I can't do anything about it. I can't get involved in that. I try now and again, but they're managing. They're finding out. It's really, really interesting. The male, there's one family in particular where they're trying to cross the water, and the swans come over, and the male swan is particular is trying to get them out. And so they cruise over nearby and just head down. This is the swans head down, wings arched up. I'm big, and they just kind of cruise fastly. They were just bossing the water, but they were pushing them out of the water. If they tried to come into the water trying to cross, then the male swan will try to shove them out again. And the male goose would deliberately get in nearby and allow himself to be chased by the male swan across the lake, keeping just ahead of the swan. And then as he got to the other side, he would quickly hop out, and the swans don't come out. They do a bit. They're ungainly when they're on land, are the swans. They're slow and ponderous. They're very good on the water. So the swan doesn't come out of the water, but the goose could nip out just ahead. And then it would turn around and go back to bother the female and the youngsters. So the male would dart back in again and distract. So it was a deliberate, very deliberate sacrificing itself, not in a big way, but it was putting itself as bait for the male swan to chase, and protecting the family and distracting the swan and drawing it away so that the youngsters and the female could actually cross the bit that needed to, and they would end up in the right place. They manage. I worry a lot, but they manage. So they come to, sometimes they'll come to an accommodation, but the swans are being a bit bossy of the water, particularly the male. They're a bit broody. The female has been trying to, not build a nest, but she's been out there in the corner of the car park, of the goose yard, and she's been sitting and then would be picking things and then pulling them close to herself. So that's been interesting. No real signs of a nest appearing, but she has been a bit broody. But maybe that's why the male's being so protective. Who knows? We shall see what comes of that, but everyone else is busying themselves around feeding the young, and there's lots of calls and lots of new fledglings starting to appear. So spring has progressed very nicely, thank you very much. And everything's gone very green, very dry, but we're on the wet end of things with the lake and everything in this valley anyway. So it's been okay. The trees in full leaf now, and a lot of the grass growing nicely, so the alpacas are feeding well and being picky and stuff. They're spreading out quite a lot, so they're picking places where they're comfortable, which is always nice to see, and we're doing what we can to make sure we accommodate that. Occasionally leaving the lights on for them. Nope, they're not there. They didn't stay in overnight after all. But girls, it was raining. You could have stayed in. I left the lights on for you. No, they don't like that. But they manage, and then they're there for breakfast. So the shearing is done. It's a nice feeling to reach the end of that. And it's a similar to having a full food store. It feels that kind of satisfying. So that's good. So they're all comfortable. They're secure. And we're just now watching for flies and that kind of stuff, making sure we don't get any problems. There's a few little bits that just need a bit of spraying and keeping on top of. But generally, they're doing well, which is good. And mostly, we're doing well. We're not getting bitten by the flies too much. But there's some pesky, just irritating flies around at the moment. And that's the nature of the thing. So there we go. We are finished that phase for another year, shearing finished, and we will move into summer very shortly. So there we go. Hope your shearing's gone well, if you've been able to get it done and finished. If you're on the other side of the world, then you'll have done that a long time back. And so hope it's going well with you. Take care, and I'll catch you again soon. Bye for now. This is the Alpaca Tribe, and I'm Steve Hetherington. Have a great day.